This is Dear Analyst, episode number 74, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how you can count the number of words in a cell using the length and substitute functions. This is a nice little quick hack for those of you who might have this very unique use case, and it should be a really quick episode. It's been a couple of weeks since my last episode, just been pretty busy with some various things. And hopefully we'll get back into the swing of things on a weekly cadence. So this little trick, I wouldn't say is a super advanced formula trick or something that you'll probably do very often, for that matter, in your Google Sheets or Excel. But as I was thinking about the solution and just thinking about how it could be used, it kind of got me thinking about a lot of other different ideas and topics, things like how we decide to use our tools, how we stretch the capabilities of our tools, in this case, Google Sheets, and how we can think outside the box to arrive at a solution that meets our needs and our constraints. So all that just from this simple formula to count the number of words in a cell. So what do we talk about? What am I talking about in counting the words in a cell? In the Google Sheet, we have column A, which is just the text. And this is various sentences and paragraphs of differing lengths. So in cell A2, I have the words, "It's easy to forget that as recently as 6 days ago." And then in cell A3, I have "Bucks for Giannis Antetokounmpo." I always forgot how to say his name. Giannis Antetokounmpo was questionable to take the court for game one of the NBA Finals. So in column A, we just have a bunch of random words. Well, not random, but we have a bunch of text of different random lengths, and our goal is to find the number of words in each of these cells. So let's just back up and think about, why would you even want to count the number of words in a cell? So perhaps you need to quickly submit, you know, on an online form, you just submit like some response, and the response has some kind of like constraint where they're saying your response can only have like 100 words, or it can only have 150 characters, or something like that. So maybe you're typing your response in Google Sheets, and you want to make sure that you're below the word or character limit. I think a more important or more common use case of wanting to count the number of words in a cell is maybe for the purposes of cleaning up data. In reality, I think you wouldn't really count the number of words. It might be counting the number of characters, because let's say you have, I'm making this up, a Google Sheet or Excel file or CSV with a bunch of customer ID numbers. And you know that the customer ID numbers have to be, let's say, 10 characters. So if you do a quick check and you count the number of characters in each cell, and one happens to be 11 or 15 or 7, you can probably figure out that those customer IDs are probably incorrect, or there's some kind of data issue. So that's where you might want to count the number of characters to make sure that you are getting good, solid data and that it's clean. So I would think that counting the characters rather than the words would be more a realistic use case in terms of cleaning data, making sure it's ready for creating a presentation or charts and graphs. So whatever it may be, I rarely count the number of words in a cell. Probably had to do it a handful of times in my whole, you know, career of using Excel and Google Sheets. But the solution to get there, I think, is pretty interesting. And I think it's worth talking about in this episode. So it's a quick little hack. Just reading right off the bat, the answer is, so again, we have all our text in cells A2 through A5. So the answer is just finding length of A2 minus length of the substitute, left parentheses, A2 double quote, sorry, the substitute left parentheses A2, comma, double quote, space, double quote, comma, double quote, right parentheses, plus one. It's a very, very relatively short formula, but it definitely does a lot of different things, and it is a very unique solution, I think, to counting the number of words in a cell. So let's take a look at the Google Sheet here. We have cells A2 through A5 with our text. In column B, I want to find the length of the text. This is just going to be the count of the characters, which includes the spaces. So I will write equals len, left parentheses, reference cell A2, right parentheses, hit enter. And then I'll just have Excel do the autofill. So I have my first length. It's easy to forget that as recently as 6 days ago. That length is 52 characters, which includes the spaces again, and also apostrophes and, you know, whatever punctuation. The next one is 100, 212, and so on and so on. So that's a pretty standard formula that you probably use it for, just finding the length. Now let's look at the substitute formula. We're going to put this in column C, length with no spaces. For now, let's just write, actually, this should be text with no spaces. So let's write equals substitute. And you'll notice that the first argument is the text to search. So we're going to write A2, that's the text we want to search, comma. Now we want to replace certain things in this text. That's the whole point of substituting one thing for another thing. We're going to take cell A2, which has our sentence. We're going to substitute every blank space. So you can create a blank space by saying double quote, space, double quote. And the third argument is what you actually want to replace this, what you're searching for in this cell. So we're searching A2. We're looking for all the spaces. And then we're replacing them with just an empty string, which is two double quotes right next to each other. So you have substitute, left parentheses, A2, comma, double quote, space, double quote, comma, and then two double quotes right next to each other. So essentially we're saying, search this entire cell, replace all the spaces with an empty string. And then if I hit right parentheses and enter, do the autofill. And you'll see I just get the text of all the stuff in column A, but it's just going to be no spaces. And let me just word wrap this a little bit. Text wrapping wrap. And you can see how the text wrap, the words are basically, the sentence is basically just condensed down where there's no spaces, where you normally see spaces in between words. So that's pretty much a substitute formula. And on their own, the substitute function and the length function, they don't really do that much individually. But when you put them together, that's where you can do something much more powerful. You know, it's kind of the whole, when you put them together, it's greater than the sum of its parts kind of thing, like 1 + 1 = 3 kind of concept. And let's see what happens when we put these things together. I'm going to undo all this right for now. And I'm going to look at length with no spaces. So what if I want to find the length of the text with no spaces? I can write equals length. Now I'm going to nest the substitute formula inside the length formula, substitute, and do the same thing I did before, substitute A2, comma, double quote, space, double quote, comma, two double quotes are next to each other, two right parentheses. And you'll notice that now I have the length of the text that has no spaces in it, which is obviously going to be less than the length of the text itself because we're removing all the spaces. So for my cell A2, I have, again, the text is, it's easy to forget that as recently as 6 days ago. The length of that text is 52. The length of the text with no spaces is 42. So if I want to get the number of words, I can just do equals B2 minus C, which is 52 minus 42. And I get the number 10. But if I look at the text, there aren't actually 10 words in the text. So it's easy for it to get. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 words. And the reason is because there's one less space in the paragraph or sentence. So all I need to do is add a 1 to this formula. Drag this down. And now I have the count of words in my cell. So just to recap, you have the length of the text with the spaces minus the length of the text with no spaces plus 1. You could also rewrite this to be length of A2. I like seeing it this way because you can see kind of all the different components of the formula. If you look inside the cell, I have the length of A2 minus the length of the substitute of A2, removing all the spaces, plus 1. And so the answer here is instead of counting the actual number of words in the cell, you are counting the number of spaces in the cell and adding a 1 to it, because the number of spaces is always 1 less than the actual number of words in the cell. So it seems like a really fun little solution. And I want to talk more about this because it really shows the composability of formulas in Google Sheets and Excel. Again, going back to the whole, you know, adding things together is greater than the sum of its parts. It's like adding Lego blocks together. And I think this is kind of what makes Google Sheets and Excel a creative tool, because people may think that, oh, you're just in Excel all day, you're just kind of crunching numbers and writing formulas and dragging things down and blah, blah, blah. But in reality, I think the creativity required to come up with a formula like this, where you're minusing the length of a sentence with no spaces from the actual length of the sentence, it's kind of creative and really forces you to kind of think a little bit outside the box. And when you are able to come up with a solution like this that kind of mimics a word counting algorithm, I feel like it's like a little bit of magic behind the scenes. And even though it's a simple formula, I think when you take this concept of composing different formulas together, you can really come up with some really amazing and interesting use cases for your models and your dashboards and your Excel files. Having formulas like this that work hand in hand, similar ones might include index and match. You might be doing things with like if error and VLOOKUP. There are all these different combinations that really make Excel and Google Sheets really powerful, obviously. But I think when you are first, if I were to tell you right now, you have to count the number of words in a cell, what goes through your mind? In my mind, I first thought about, okay, how can I actually count the number of words in the cell? Maybe I'm doing some kind of like count a function, but I'm counting the words, or maybe I can like use some loop where I'm looping through the words, looping through the whole text, like the whole cell. And then every time I read a word, I count something. But in reality, if you look at the pattern in sentences, the spaces in between words is really what indicates or what predicts the number of words in a cell. And so that's the first thing to think about, is like thinking about the delimiter or the pattern or the special character that helps you detect the pattern to help you get to a quantitative result that you're looking for. And this kind of thinking a little bit more meta here. When you think about counting words, are you really counting the words or are you counting spaces? And in this case, we're counting spaces. And who cares if you have to count the spaces to get to the number of words? As long as you get the solution, that's all that really matters, right? So there's this example I wanted to talk about. It's a little bit far-fetched, but just bear with me here. During World War II, the Germans had a bomber plane called the Dornier 17. Now, most of these bomber planes have been destroyed in the war, but divers found one of these Dornier 17s at the bottom of the North Sea, which is off the UK, United Kingdom coast, in 2008. So these divers found the plane, they let the authorities know, and the government, I believe, brought in a team from Imperial College London to salvage the plane from further corrosion and to clean the planes up so that the plane could be showcased in a museum. And the team from Imperial College London tried all kinds of solutions and methods. And they found out, despite all the scientific, you know, experiments they placed and all the different special chemicals they applied, they found that spraying the plane with lemon water, would not only prevent the corrosion, but also clean the plane as well. So you're this advanced plane salvage organization, and you're tasked with this really monumental task of preserving this moment of history. And you realize that it just comes down to putting the plane inside these like giant, I think they put them in like these giant kind of like halls or whatever, where they just sprayed them all down with lemon water. And that's what allowed them to arrive at the solution of preserving the planes and preventing further corrosion. And bring this back to Google Sheets and Excel, I think the first step is just realizing that there's a pattern in the text, and then just using the tools you have at your disposal, in this case, the function, the length function and the substitute function, to arrive at the solution. So moving this beyond Excel and Google Sheets, this led me to start thinking about, well, what is the really right tool for the job to count the number of words in a cell? Because when you want to count the number of words in like your, you know, paper or some kind of text or paragraphs, you might reach for Microsoft Word because you can see the word count right in Microsoft Word, like somewhere in the properties. Maybe there's like hundreds of online word counters where you just copy and paste your paragraphs and put them into the word counter, and it just gives you number of words and characters and all the metrics that you need. So the question is Google Sheets the right tool for the job? And I would argue no, that it's probably, that Google Sheets was probably not made to do this, but I think it's interesting that people have come up with solutions to do this and various other things that Google Sheets and Excel were probably not made to do, but using the composability of these formulas, they're able to do things that you wouldn't otherwise do in Excel or Google Sheets, where you might be picking up a more specialized tool to do the job. Now, for diehard Excel and Google Sheets fans, you're probably going to be sticking in Google Sheets or Excel no matter what happens, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the use case is, because that's your tool of choice. You are an expert in the formulas, you're expert in VBA, you're an expert in formatting. So it's just easier and faster, more efficient for you to do things in Excel or Google Sheets, like counting the number of words, even if it's not the best tool for the job. And I think there's some kind of excitement. And actually, I'll talk about this a little bit more in a bit with the other podcasts I listen to. But there's an excitement that comes with discovering a new use case for formulas that you're used to using, like the length function, like the substitute function, that helps you do these new things you wouldn't otherwise do. So there's some excitement and, again, creativity that comes with creating these composable formulas. This led me to think about other word counting algorithms. So I brought up Microsoft Word and these online word counters. Are these the right tools to use for counting the number of words in your paper? How does Microsoft Word count the number of words when you're writing it in a Word doc? Maybe they also count the number of spaces like we're doing in Google Sheets. So I originally thought, and I still think, that Microsoft Word probably uses some really advanced algorithm that is 10 or 100 times better than this, you know, silly length substitute function that we just came up with in Google Sheets. And the answer is I really don't know. I obviously don't have insight into the algorithm that Microsoft Word uses for counting the number of words. But from doing some basic research, it sounds like Microsoft Word's algorithm is not too far off from what we just showed here in Google Sheets. And there's all different kinds of inconsistencies with word counters. Even in Microsoft Word and Windows, you'll see one word count in Microsoft Word. But then if you like open a Windows folder and you try to right-click properties in the Microsoft Word doc, you get a separate number. So there's just discrepancies between word counts in general. But from different word counting algorithms I've checked out online, and I linked to some of these near the end of the show notes, one algorithm talks through some pseudocode of how they would write a word counting algorithm in Java. And guess what? The algorithm involves looking for special characters or delimiters that would indicate when you would want to count a word in your text. So this could be a space, this could be a period, this could be a comma, and there's different functions you would write to detect when one of these delimiters comes up. So having said that, I think all word counters, a majority of word counters online, on Word or whatever kind of blogging platform you're using, WordPress, Squarespace, whatever, they're probably doing something similar to counting the number of spaces or special characters in a cell to get the actual number of words. It doesn't seem like there's many other ways to do it. So long story short, what I'm trying to say here is by using this simple function we just talked about in 2 minutes, the length and substitute function, we were able to replicate the word counting algorithm of many popular word counting applications of Microsoft Word, and we were able to do this in one little condensed formula of length and substitute. So to me, I think that's pretty darn cool, where you can, again, take the composability of these really basic formulas that do super basic things in Google Sheets and turn it into this like algorithm that basically counts number of words in a cell without you having to go into advanced algorithms or advanced functions for that matter. So hopefully this simple hack and trick will broaden your scope, broaden your mind about how you can compose formulas together, how you can choose the right tools for the job, and also how what you're building in Excel and Google Sheets could be as powerful as other applications you're using from Microsoft, from other tools that you use online at work, which is pretty interesting if you think about the power that Excel and Google Sheets has. So that's going to wrap up this quick hack on how to count the number of words in a cell. I want to mention two other podcasts I listened to recently that I wanted to call out here. And the first one is from the Shop Talk Show with Chris Coyer and Dave Rupert. I mention this show quite often on the podcast. And this is episode number 465. They basically get a bunch. It's an episode where they just answer a bunch of like listener questions. They talk about linters, delivering HTML in a single file, specialist or generalist, and social image previews. Now, obviously, when I saw the topic about specialist or generalist, I was like, this is my kind of show. I've talked about, I forgot what book it was. I mean, I'm blanking, but I remember like many episodes ago, I talked about how there's a book about whether or not people should be specialists or generalists. Generalists, and long story short, people should be generalists to get the most broad kind of experiences and success in their career, what have you. Around minute 30, they were answering a question, should I be focused on a tool like WordPress or learn a variety? And this actually ties, what they talked about in this episode ties directly into what I just talked about in this episode on Dear Analyst, where Chris and Dave, they have built a career building WordPress sites for their clients and their agencies. And they realize that they're really well-versed, obviously, in WordPress. But what happens when their client asks them if they want to go onto a different tool? If your client has been using WordPress to host their website for the longest time, and you realize that WordPress might not be the best tool for the job, the client asks you, hey, we need to do X, Y, and Z. And you realize you need to move on beyond WordPress, maybe into Gatsby, into some other CMS. But so much of it, the platform has been built on WordPress that you realize, you know what? I'm just going to stretch WordPress to its very, very like edges to see if I can squeeze in some, you know, machine learning, geo mapping tool into WordPress that even though WordPress is not made for it, I will find a way. And this speaks to the flexibility and accessibility of a tool like Google Sheets, where you're trying to push it to the edges of what it was actually meant to be used. But A, you're skilled in Google Sheets or Excel, so therefore you know how to, you have experience stretching the tool. And B, there is some fun and creativity that comes with trying to figure out how to put a square peg into a round hole. And so I think that's what Chris and Dave were talking about, which is there is some kind of respect for being a specialist in a tool, because you know the tool inside out. You can extend it to whatever you want to be. You can mold it, flex it, and make it produce these really amazing pieces of work. But there comes this point when you may need to decide, do you rely on that custom word counter? Do you rely on Microsoft Word to count the number of words? I don't know. Maybe you do. And I'm always in the camp of learning as many tools as possible and still consider myself an expert in Google Sheets and Excel and a few other tools, but I still think it makes sense to broaden your mind to think outside the box, not only in the tools that you use every day, but also in these new tools that can give you a new way of thinking about how to do your work, and more importantly, give you a new perspective on how you can approach using your existing tools, because they're providing new functionality and new ways of doing things. So definitely listen to this episode around minute 30. It ties directly into what I talked about in this episode in terms of pushing your tools to the edges. And we'll leave it at that. The second episode I want to mention is from the Making Sense podcast with Sam Harris, episode number 248. Haven't mentioned this podcast too often, but it's definitely on rotation in my feed. And in episode 248, Sam is speaking with Dr. Michelle Gelfin. I'm saying her name right. And Dr. Gelfin is a university professor of psychology at the University of Maryland in College Park. And she's written a bunch of books, and she talks about this book she published on the podcast with Sam called Rule Makers, Rule Breakers, How Tight and Loose Cultures Wire the World. And I really like this episode and what she had to say in terms of her book, because, you know, she mentions how all societies, all cultures have social norms. This is not something rocket science, you know, groundbreaking discovery. And our societies basically can't function without these social norms. She mentions things like, you know, the way, what you say when you're at work, how you handle yourself when you're at a restaurant, what you do when you go grocery shopping, you know, how you talk to your neighbors. Their social norms and how keeps, and these social norms keeps our societies running and going. And she talks about, I think in other interviews, about tight and loose cultures, of basically being that a tight culture is where there's a lot of social norms impacting how the culture functions, how people interact with each other. Loose cultures are cultures where norms are kind of free-flowing and easygoing, and they're kind of there, they're not really there, but people can basically push and have more freedom. And that's why this episode is called Order and Freedom, and that there's this constant tension, but also flexibility with how much tightness do you give to the social norms in your culture, so that everything is very predictable, everyone knows how to behave in a society, versus having a more loose culture where there's more freedom to express yourself, express your thoughts, do things that you want to do that are maybe outside the bounds of what would be considered normal, quote unquote, in a tight culture. And in the book, I didn't read the book, but I think in her interviews about the book, she talks about how they interviewed a bunch of people across different cultures, and they found that really densely populated cities, Singapore, Hong Kong, there's a high amount of social norms and the culture is very tight, whereas more loose and more sparsely populated societies, like in the United States and other countries, the norms are a little more lax and the cultures are more loose and allows more freedom and perhaps more free flowing of ideas and creativity to go around. And this type of loose and tight cultures also impacts the type of, obviously, government regulations that are imposed, the types of economic reforms, the types of social and emotional support or whatever that people will provide to each other. In general, in tighter cultures, people are following the rules much more and are not willing to risk breaking outside of these social norms. And I just thought it was kind of interesting to think about how the culture that you live in, where you're brought up, all these social norms are hoisted upon you, mostly based on, you know, how populated the city or country you're living in is. Now, to bring this kind of back to Google Sheets and Excel, I'm trying to find the loose thread here. When you're a financial modeler, there are certain ways that you structure your Excel file to make it easy for someone else to dissect and analyze and interpret the results. Now, if you inherit something that doesn't follow these social norms of how you build a model or build a dashboard or write formulas, you as someone who has been trained in traditional financial modeling concepts might be like, whoa, what's going on here? I'm in a very tight culture. I've brought up learning how to do things a certain way. And when you see something that's outside of these norms, you may reject the model. You may think it's not properly done, it's sloppy. But I would challenge that assumption, in that maybe the person producing it, probably very smart, but just happens to be in a culture where the norms was trained in Excel Google Sheets, where the culture was not as ingrained in terms of financial modeling. And he or she may actually provide different ways for you to think about how you can create an Excel file or a model or a dashboard that is breaking the mold of what you're traditionally used to with your financial modeling concepts that you've known for your whole life. So there's that tension, again, the order and freedom that comes with even building something as simple as a financial model or dashboard. So I thought this episode was interesting, just talking about how you can take a simple concept like societal norms, social norms, and bring it to something like Excel or Google Sheets, where norms do exist. And perhaps if you are in a very highly regulated, quote unquote, society, and let's call the world of financial modeling a very close and let's call the world of financial modeling a very close and tight culture. Let's put it that way. A lot of social norms are how you build a model. If we broaden that circle a little bit to the analyst world, I would say that the analyst world is probably a much more loose culture where you can play with the format, you can play with the formulas, you can play with different use cases of Excel and Google Sheets to get to the solution that you need for your business. And that's okay because the norms around what an analyst can or can't do are much more flexible and open, giving them more freedom to be creative with their work. And that's the type of environment I like to be in. But I can also see the argument for having a very tight culture where there are accepted ways of doing things, and there's respect and there is order that comes with doing things a certain way. And the fact that there is that type of, you know, ABC, 1, 2, 3 way of doing things gives the work a lot of predictability and risk aversion that maybe people in the financial world probably are looking for. So you can see both ways. I just prefer being a little more loose, I guess you can say, and free flowing with how I create my files, my work, my Google Sheets, Excel files, etc. So give this episode a listen. Maybe check out our book if you want to, but thought it'd be an interesting episode to bring up in the context of what we do all day, which is building formulas and creating dashboards in Excel and Google Sheets. This will wrap up this episode number 74. I'm actually going to be traveling for the next month and a half, and I'm going to try to keep up the podcast and the newsletter while I'm gone. We'll be working remotely for a while, so expect to see you hopefully on a more consistent basis, even though I will be abroad. Thanks for listening.